Tomorrow, maybe you'll see that I'm wrong, but I'm 99% sure about that. Okay. We are on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, I am tired tonight, but I think I'll make it through anyway. Just give me no notes ahead of time. Oh, okay. No, we didn't do too much. That's because it was... We are shut out here at the me group. We're in our element. We are on Gimlon off towards Gimlon base. We are Rabbi Yossi B'Shem. We're actually about halfway down. About 8 lines or so above the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi B'Shem, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi B'Shem, Rabbi Yochanan said, Shchoshim Ein Ben Mamish, roots are insignificant. Now, what does that mean by roots are insignificant? Om Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Zira said Rabbi Yasa, to Rabbi Yasa, Beferu Shmatana mean Rabbi Yochanan? Did you remember, hear this explicitly from Rabbi Yochanan, meaning that you were learning Orla at the time, and he told you that we don't look at specific roots when we're dealing with Orla? Or did you hear the following? Orla Visum Kamin, you were learning Orla. But Vidkarta, you were recalled Hoda Milsa Bibikurim. You recall this statement which is made by Bikurim, where it says that roots are insignificant. Now this is a very interesting halacha by Bikurim. We haven't learned Masech Bikurim, it's the one being Masech that we have left. But halacha is Bikurim must be brought from your land. You can't just go down the road and say, ah, what a beautiful first fruit. Let me bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash. It's got to be your Bikurim. Now the problem is, in your Bikurim, where the roots... They don't generally discriminate between your property and your neighbor's property. Very often your roots are going to travel over to your neighbor's property. So I could bring Bikurim from any tree in your property. You have to be choshesh. You have to suspect that maybe the roots travel onto the neighbor's property, right? And it's not yours. So therefore, Yeshua made a t'nai with Bnei Yisrael, made a condition with the entire Jewish people when they entered the land of Israel, rather than Bikurim should be a viable mitzvah, that everybody was willing to relinquish the ownership of roots of another individual's tree which spreads into their territory. Was that clear? In order that each tree should belong to a specific individual, in order that individual should be able to bring Bikurim. Okay? That's by Bikurim.
Applies to the trees.
Applies to the trees, yeah. But vis-a-vis Bikurim. You should at least know part of the roots, right? But that's the whole condition Yeshua made, that it should not be that way, right? That he relinquishes that right, right? Normally he should have in Chutz Laretz. Now, yes, let's say your well, it makes sense. Your neighbor's roots come into your yard. Can you cut those roots? Can you chop them? Of course you can. Yeah. Okay, it's a special condition. No, the question is since the roots come from my yard, so I'm providing the fruit with sustenance, so it should not be considered solely my neighbor's fruit. Okay, so he shouldn't be able to be Bikurim, right? I'm Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira said, that which we said that roots don't have any significance, bishrishu, big typo here, bishrishu, it should be mitoch shalola toch shal chaveiro, where the roots extended not from Chutzlaretz to Eretz Yisrael, as it says here, but extended from his yard into his neighbor's yard, as Yeshua taught us, right? That when they entered the land of Israel, they rendered that case insignificant. But if the roots go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, then even by Bikurim, Shroshim Yeshlem Mamish, the tree is exempt from Bikurim, right? Because Yeshua could have made a condition among all the people who got a portion in the land of Israel that they relinquished the rights in their neighbor's trees. But he couldn't make a condition with King Hussein, that King Hussein is going to give up the rights of trees which extend into Jordan to the Jewish people. It doesn't help, right? Because it's still growing from Chutz Laretz. So therefore, in that case, the trees remain exempt from Bikurim. Okay? So again, when the Shroshim Ein Ben Mamish, when everything is within the land between two owners, not when it crosses international borders. Okay? Makes sense. Says the Gemara, new issue. Sipkol is Kena, Potter. This thing which we're going to return to several times in Orla. What happens if you graft one tree and another tree? Right? Now, if you graft a fresh tree onto an older tree, potter, then Orla does not devolve. Even though the tree you grafted, or the branch you grafted on is from a newer tree, to which Orla should not apply, once you graft it onto the older tree, it's exempt. L'chutzlaretz, if you graft it onto a tree which is l'chutzlaretz, a branch from an Israeli tree, potter, it's also exempt. L'hekdesh, if you graft it on, however, to a hekdesh tree, even though hekdesh itself is exempt from Orla, the branch is chayv in Orla. Chayv. The one is going to ask why in a moment. The tzad tachton, if you graft it onto the underside of the tree where the underside of the tree was planted for the purpose of a fence. Or the tzad elyon, you graft it onto the upper side of the tree, where the upper side of the tree is planted for the purpose of a fence. In all those cases, chayiv, both those cases, you're chayiv. Why all these cases we say? It's chayiv, if you graft onto a hektish tree, you're chayiv, shu roi livdosu chayiv. The fact that hektish is exempt from orlo is not inherent. It's an exception. And the proof of that pudding is that if you redeem the hektish, that it could become chayiv in orlo, right? So therefore, it's not considered to be grafted onto a bona fide exemption, but grafted onto an extrinsic exemption, and therefore the grafted branch is chayiv in orla. Grafting is not legitimate when it's two different types of tree. But you hear me talking about grafting peach onto peach. Okay? What? I believe we pass on all citrus fruit to our... Are one type. There isn't. There is not. The orla tree is exempt. The grafted branch is chayv in orla. Okay? Because grafted branch is not hektish. L'tzad elyon chayv, and similarly, if you graft it onto the upper part of the tree, which is meant to be a fence, then the grafted branches chayv in orla shuroy lachshav lo b'chayv, because it's suitable to be thought of and to be mechayv. In other words, again, there too, the fact that a fence tree is exempt from orla is only an extrinsic exemption. You can make it chayv. So therefore, the branch which you now grafted on, which is not meant to be serve as a fence, that is chayv in orla. Rabbi asked Gemara. Getting back to our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef said he can divide the same tree in half. Half for siog, half for fence, and half for food. Rabbi Yosef said by Meiser that a tree also can be divided in half, that half can be chayv and Meiser, half exempt from Meiser in terms of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, if it grows half in Israel and half in the outside of the land of Israel. No. I feel he's Barker Rebbe. You can even like Rebbe that normally by a tree which is half in Eretz Yisrael and half in Chutz Laretz, all the fruits, every fruit in the tree is considered to be half exempt and half chayav. It's not a division of the tree, but the fruit itself gets mixed up, right? It's since it derives its nourishment from both territories. However, Orla Tliya B'daita, Orla is different because Orla is susceptible to Machshove. It's susceptible to your thought process. And therefore you can designate in thought a tree to be half for fence and half for fruit. However, Meisers ain't clean bedaito. Meisers is an absolute. Where it grows is what determines its nature, regardless of what your intent was. And therefore, it's in case of Meiser, I say, it makes no difference. Makes no difference what your intent was. The question is where it grows, and that's all I take into account. So it could be that Rabbi Yossi holds that you can divide a tree in Orla, might agree that by Meiser you can't divide a tree because by Orla it depends on your intent, whereas by Meiser it does not. Okay? Says Omar further. Mishnah further. Eishabo Avosein Loretz. At the time when our forefathers came to the land of Israel, Umatu Natua, and they found trees planted potter. Those trees they found planted were exempt from Orla. Nato Afapishlo Kipshu. The trees they planted, even before they conquered the entire land, Chayev, or chayiv in orlo. Hanotel rabbi chayiv. Somebody who plants the tree for the purpose of the masses is chayiv in orlo. Rabbi Yehuda Poiter, Rabbi Yehuda says exempt. The Gemara is going to discuss it. Hanotel b'shusa rabbi. However, if you plant in a public domain, a public thoroughfare, v'anochi shenata, or a goy plant, v'agazlon shenata, or a thief plants, v'anotel b'sfina, or if somebody plants in a ship, for ola me'elov, or you plant a plant rises on its own. All these things are chayav in orla. Okay. Why is all this? Untatem. It says you have to plant. Prat l'shenatu goy mach lobar yisrael l'aretz. So that precludes that which planted by the goyim before they entered Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Huna b'shem Rabbi Abba said. Adomras teaches us that Shoresh Potter Potter. It teaches us that exempt root exempts the tree. Now here we mean in time, right? Because in the chronology, boy, you're a busy night tonight. He doesn't hear a pen, he needs a phone. Where? You're in the 19th century, Mr. Zuger. Oh, you have one too. I'm the only one in the 19th century. What area code are you? 247. The, the teacher says, Shoresh, but you weren't here last night, so let me tell you, there's a concept by Orla. One root, we're going to come back to it a couple of times this evening. One root which is exempts the entire tree. If there's one root which is exempt in Orla, for some reason exempts the entire tree. And here we see that borne out in chronology. The tree was planted days, a month, before the Jews entered the land of Israel. One of its roots was the root of Ptur. A root which is exempt because it's planted by the goyim before we enter. Even though now hundreds and thousands of roots of these trees are going to be chayef roots, since one has one root which is a potter, it exempts the tree forever. Okay?
Yeah.
Says more further. Not to have a bishlo kivshu.
Okay.
If they planted even before they conquered the entire land, chayef. They became chayef in Orla. This is going even like Rabbi Shmuel. Even like Rabbi Shmuel Damar, who said, Kobiyos Amos Betor, that any time they, it mentions her that they came into Eretz Yisrael, that they only chayv in Mitzvah. Once they entered the land of Israel, Lachar Basri Shona, Nemru, it stated normally it only pertains after they underwent the 14 years, meaning Sheva Shekim Shev Sheva Shechilku, the 7 years which they conquered, the 7 years which they divided. Here, by Orla, it's different. Why? Again, because it says Untatem. The moment you planted, even if you don't, the Gemara is going to say why in a minute. I take that back. Rabbi Elishem Elezer said, Bod Rabbi Shmuel, we did see it. No, I take that back. I take back what I took back. The reason why the moment they entered Eretz Yisrael, they became chayav is because it says Untatem. Once you plant it, regardless of your ownership, once you plant in the land of Israel, that becomes chayav in Orla. Okay? Now, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Leza said, Mod Rabbi Shmuel b'chala uva Orla. Yeah.
Tatem implies.
Lochem just implies the ownership, not.
That's right.
No, but he said it doesn't imply ownership. That was what he said last night, because it doesn't say Lochachtem Lochem. By Ezra, we said Lochachtem Lochem, but not by Orla. We said Lochem just means you, it's generic. So, Rabbi Shmuel said, Mo Rabbi Shmuel b'chal of Orla. Rabbi Shmuel concedes by chal and an Orla, that even though everything else was required, only took effect after 14 years, chal and Orla took place immediately. Orla, we saw why, because in the Tatem, and chal, because of the Tanakh came, we learned in the Braisa, it says, b'voachem. It says by chal, not kisavo, when you come, like it says by any other mitzvah, which implies Eretz Yisrael, but it says, b'voachem, upon your entry. V'vishashina akosu mashmo, shinucha chomim chayichiyuvo. Because the pasuk changed the meaning, changed, it's not the meaning, changed the word employed Mashmo usually means meaning, but here it means the word employed. Since Rachamim changed the word employed, since the pasuk changed the word employed from kisavo to bevoachem, shinu Rachamim chiyuvo. I don't like this line, but Rachamim changed the chiyuv. Why don't I like this line? Because it's obviously a dindaraisa. So what?
So what do you think Hillel did of Kuzma?
There's no difference. Prusbel's the rice. Prusbel's the rabbana.
It's a rabbana, but it's what it does is it affects.
Yeah, but that's chashim mishpat. This is Ryan. You can live with this gemara? I can't. What do you mean? Unless you say it's like Moser Nakosav L'Chachomim. Now the gemara says that. The Gemara says that since the language, it really is not as terrible as it sounds. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but the Gemara says that when they entered Eretz Yisrael, they became chayv and chala, even though all Trumas and Maisos took 14 years. It says bevoachem by chala, as opposed to kisavo, which it says by all the other mitzvahs in the Torah. So the Gemara says, because since the language is different, shinu chachomim chiyuvo, so chachomim changed the chiyuv. So really it's not Chachamim, it's the Torah itself which changed the Chiyuv. So I'm just bothered by the use of the word Chachamim. Yeah, so you can say the Chachamim are darshing it differently. That's what you would say. Yeah. Oh, Shano, you could say that too. That's good. But no, I don't think so. No, it won't fit. No! Because it said Shino a minute ago.
So what?
So this has to be Shino.
So could have been a typo.
No. Anyway, I'd rather live with some heretical shot than Shino. Okay. Rabbi Yoda, boy. Rabbi Yoda asked, Mechal b'shitasid Rabbi Shmuel. This is the antithesis of Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Now, it's interesting, in the Bavli, this sheet of Rabbi Shmuel is also brought down, but it's brought down differently. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. Tamanu Omar, over there Rabbi Shmuel says, Hi avaya, hi akoma. It says that you're not allowed to redeem Hektesh by estimate. You have to have a proper reckoning of its value. So it says, in one place it says, Havaya, language of Havaya, which is and the other place it says lashon of akoma ken yakum or something like that, kosher, some pasuk of that sort. So we learn exer shava from havayot akoma, from yet yakum. Hi, they're different words, but since they're conceptually the same, so I learn exer shava. Now the Bavli also has this in Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, the way this appears in Rabbi Shmuel, says Rabbi Shmuel holds that v'shava kohen uba kohen zui shiva zui bia. Says the kohen comes back, the kohen goes in. So we learn exer shava that the zui shiva zui bia, that shav and ba, although they're not the same word, they're the same concept of entering and exiting the house. The Yerushalmi doesn't bring that down, but the Yerushalmi does brings down the concept, not that specific drasha. And similarly, Yerushalmi gives two other examples that Shabbali does not give. He shavira in netitza. By destroy, but the Zohar sometimes it says shavira to break, so it says netitza to destroy. So he says they're the same word. He gu'ula ipadia, by adding a fifth down when you redeem hektish or maiser sheni. There's language of gu'ula and language of padia, even though the Torah uses sometimes gal, sometimes pada, we learn that they're both the same. Now, since that is the case, Shmuel says that languages which are not precisely the same are conceptually similar, and that's sufficient. So v'achu mishana ben lishon lelishon. Here, why does he say that kisavo is not the same as bevoachem? They're sufficiently similar; they should have the same connotation. Yet bevoachem implies a chiyuv which takes place 14 years earlier. Why the difference? This being Yerushalmi, we don't answer the question. We go on. Natul Rabbi. If you plant for the masses, chayev, then you're chayev. Rabbi Yehuda poter, Rabbi exempts you. Wait, says more. Mechalva shita sid rabbonin. This seems to be a contradiction, rabbonin shita. Taman inu namrin, in terms of taras, they say, Yerushalayim v'chutzart ain metame b'negoyim. Yerushalayim v'chutzart not metame b'nega. Why not metame b'nega? Because you don't own them. It has to be based eretz achuzaschem. And Yerushalayim or chutzart are not your achuzah. You might own them, but you don't own them in the sense of an achuzah. The Yerushalayim was not divided up to among the Shvatim, the Eibar Shav as an achuzah, as their portion, and certainly chutzart is not as well. So therefore there's no tzaras in Yerushalayim or in chutzart. No tzaras of houses, right? So ask the Gemara, v'achi, tamarinu nomarinu again. There they say, Rabbanan say Yerushalayim chutzart is metame b'negoyim. There's no tumas negoyim because they don't belong to specific individuals. V'achi nu nomarinu, okay. And here they say the orla applies even though the tree doesn't belong to a specific individual, even though it belongs to the masses. Contradiction. There's one. No. Taman uva sherlo abayis. Thereby tzaras, it says, he who the house belongs to should come. Probably Yerushalayim. Exclude Yerushalayim. Shiluchal shvatim. It's not his house. No house Yerushalayim was owned by the owner. Did you know that? No house Yerushalayim was owned by its owner. No. But they'll come after you do it, own it. Yerushalayim, that's why the Ole Regalim, they didn't have to stay in the King David in the old days. They went and forcibly entered people's houses living in Yerushalayim. Yeah. Why is that? Because the people in Yerushalayim didn't own their houses. Nowadays, we know. Nowadays, of course, things have changed. But,
well, the new city, anything outside the old
walls. Yeah, right. But that's hypothetically, that's the case. So says where Taman of Ashalo Abayis brought Yerushalayim Shiluchol Shvatim. Says the guy who owns the house excludes Yerushalayim, which is not, which belongs to everybody. Baramacha, but here it says Untatem Yikomakom. If you plant it, no matter when, it already comes Chayven in Orla. Okay.
So even if you plant
for the rabbi, right? That's Rabbana. Now Rabbi Yehuda. Mechafi shitas hid Rabbi Yehuda. It's a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. Tamon by Nagoyim by Taras Uomer, he says, Ail shlo shamati il beis hamikdash. I only heard there's no Taras in the beis hamikdash. Right, but in the rest of Yerushalayim there can be tzaras, even though there's no specific personal ownership. V'achu amarachein, here he says that by the case of oil, there's no oil of the trees planted for the masses. It seems to be a contradiction. So it says Gemara, Tamon there loymer ani lo shamati. Such a big compound. Ani lo shamati el beis hamikdash. I only heard about the beis hamikdash. Shmu amola. He's telling us what he heard. But here, Garmei Amar, he's only what he himself heard. Holds. What does he himself hold? That even Yerushalayim would be exempt from Orla. Why? Because it's not single ownership. Who owns Yerushalayim? All of Klai Yisrael. Okay? Rabbi Yisrael Rabun, Rabbi Yisrael Rabun said, Tipat Rav Shimon Elazar. You know, the truth is, it could be two Tanoim according to Rabbi Yehuda. And one is going to Rav Shimon Elazar. The Tari of Shimon Elazar, maybe Shmuel Shimon Elazar, holds the name Rabbi Yehuda, Hanotel Rabbi Uchaya Borla. If you plant for the masses, then you're liable for Orla. Only if it came up on its own and the masses take use of it, then Potomela is exempt from Orla. Okay? Hanotel Sakhbi Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So the Machlokas in Rabbi Yehuda, where the held Hanotel Rabbi Mischaev, so he plants a tree for the masses, is Chayev in Orla or not. Hanotel the rabbi.
Didn't we have a case where the tree was planted in the middle of the forest and was still high in Orla?
Only if it's worth cultivating.
Yeah.
So what are you asking?
So here, it's the middle of the forest, it's for the masses.
No, for the masses means for public use. No. Not for people who pass by, for public use. Okay? Hanotel Rabbi Chayev. If you plant it for the masses, you're Chayev, even if you plant in your own backyard. Hanotel Rabbi Rishus Rami, sorry, if you plant for the masses in Rishus Rami, you're potter, you're exempt from Orla. Hanotel Rami, some of you have plants for the masses, even within Yerushalayim. Chayev is Chayev in Orla, but Notem Mitoch Shlo when you plant in your own backyard. Rishus Rami, you plant in a public thoroughfare, potter, then you're exempt. Okay, you're exempt from Orla. Okay, I didn't look this up, so I don't know if this is taka true, but it sounds like, you know, for certain public uses, you're exempt from Orla. Okay, interesting. Halacha. New topic. Now, this is really off at a tangent, but the Mishnah mentioned that you stole land. So it says the Gemara, V'yesh geza, v'shegaza karka. Ask him, V'yesh geza karka nigza, how is land stolen? You can't pick it up and run. So what's the concept of theft by land? Land. Theft. Find land. Yesh karka nigzal. Rabbi Hila said, "Afal bishen karka nigzal." Even though land cannot be stolen, yesh the karka. Eventually, a person gives up and never getting it back. Okay, so that's called stealing land. Rabbi Yosi may say netilas b'chutzaretz. Rabbi Yosi used to bring this a new topic. Rabbi Yosi used to bring saplings from chutzaretz, big ushein with their dirt surrounding them, but nati flown baritz and plant them in Eretz Yisrael. What do you think he tried to do by bringing it in their dirt? Hey, but tomorrow, the things we mentioned yesterday, that even trees in Chutzaretz are chayv in Orla. She said there's certain kulos in Orla and Chutzaretz that don't apply to Orla and Eretz Yisrael. He was trying to get a hold of those kulos. Okay? By what? I don't know. I guess not. Yeah, it seems like once it goes to Eretz Yisrael, it's upgrade. It's a good question. Maybe it's just a hypothetical. Rabbi Yoshi might see the tears from Chutzaret, Begushayim, not so embarrassed, used to plant in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yoina said, Lissar Choshchani. Hey, he gets out of Orla that way. Rabbi Yoshi says, Lissachro Revai. Rabbi Yosi says he doesn't get out of Orla, but he does get out of Revai. In other words, when a tree planted, so then...
Isn't that automatic if you have Orla?
Yeah, I guess he's more Makel. So not only is there no Orla, there's also no Revai. Okay, there's no Revai as well. Since you didn't have Orla, you don't have Revai. Right. That's very good. I lost my place. Am I?
Tani.
We learned. Goish here, Kiv Elon. That's it. You're picking somebody up? And then you're leaving to you're going to Europe with you?
I'm going Thursday.
Oh, he's just going for poor. Okay. Tani. Goy Shirki Vilon. A guy who grafted a tree. Now this is very interesting stuff. A guy Shirki Vilon Mamachal Gabi Ilan Srak. He grafted an edible fruit tree on a non-edible tree. Now non-edible is a trick phrase. A non-edible tree can be a tree which is edible but not right now as well. There are two types of Ilan Srak. One Ilan Srak is a tree which is not edible at all. It's an oak tree. What? Another type of tree which is an Ilan Srak is a tree which is occasionally edible. Such as, let's say, a tree which grows acorns. Right? What tree grows acorns? That's another tree. Let's try... What? Pine tree? What? The maple syrup? No. Well, a pine tree has. Does a pine tree have any fruit? Any which can be eaten? But it's not eaten, really. Right. Okay, so that's a good example. The difference between a pine tree and an oak tree. Because acorns really can be designated as food. So grafting onto an acorn tree is going to be different. Oak tree. It's going to be different than grafting onto a pine tree. Okay? So says the Gemara, Tani, Goy Shirkev Ilan Machal Gabi Ilan Srak. A Goy who grafted an edible tree, a fruit-bearing tree, onto a barren tree. This is a meaning one which doesn't have fruit. Ava bisha any Yisrael v'ashay la'asoskein, even though no Jew is permitted to do that, chayv barla, it's liable to orla. The moment it's grafted, it becomes chayv and orla. Okay, from that time on. Why? Because the graft is like it's planting. Me'orla me'emusay emonalo. Where do you start counting orla? Says the Gemara, mishas niti also. Not from the time you grafted, but from the time the Elam's rock was planted, which might have been years ago. But this grafting of the branch onto it gives the character of an edible tree. And for now you have to keep Orla. But you keep Orla retroactively from the time that the host tree was planted. Okay? Not from the time that the graft took. Very basic difference. Says the Gemara, Rashi Meloga Shomar, this is only talking about trees where the host tree itself could grow acorns or the like, things which could be designated with thought to eat. Kigon, charuvei tamona, such as tamona carobs, charuvei gidoda, kagidoda carobs, aval, however, arva, arava. If you graft it onto a willow tree, which has absolutely no fruit, it's completely barren, so then kenatu baretz is as if you plant in the ground. And then when does the clock start ticking? From the grafting. So if it's a type of tree which grows fruit, which is not normally eaten, but fruit, so then the clock starts ticking from the time the host tree was planted. If it's a tree which is never eaten because it has no fruit whatsoever, so then the clock starts ticking only from the time when the only from the time when the graft takes place. Okay, because the graft is like the plant.
Now, the host barren tree is 10 years old.
Yes.
And you now graft.
Yeah.
The clock started ticking from the host tree 10 years ago.
Right, so it's not Arla. That's right. No, it's no Arla. That's right.
This is all.
Right. Okay?
Which makes sense. It's just
an ordinary
bordering
marker,
just a little
bag,
like Rashi says.
No, we did that. Rabbi Yochanan Rabba. Oh, no, we didn't do it. You're right. Rabbi Yochanan Rabba. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you graft onto a willow tree, the clock starts ticking from the time the willow tree was planted and not from the time that you made the graft. Ask him, how can you say such a thing? But on Rabbi Yochanan. Well, at the end, didn't we learn in Masechta Shviyos, and I think it's in Rosh Hashanah as well. But somewhere else. But is that you out there? Okay, that makes sense. But I think, didn't we learn? Ain't noting. You do not plant. You don't run a runner off a tree into the ground. You don't graft. Erev Shviyos on Erev Shmita. Pachos mi. Lami of Nei Rosh Hashanah, less than 3 days for Rosh Hashanah. Vimnata, because looks like you're going into Shemitah. Vimnata, if you did plant a runner or off or grafted less than 3 days for Rosh Hashanah, Iyakar, you have to uproot it. Now, Aldaite. Aldaite is Shimon Lakish. According to Shimon, so it's the Shimon Lakish. Now, it sounds like if you graft,
because she might go to her
husband,
to her father's house.
I skipped. That's my problem. Okay. So we say Lo Halcha. Lakish to maybe I didn't skip. But I what?
I don't think you skipped.
Yeah, I got confused. Adayder Shimon Lakish do Patula Barava Nicha. Kana Hashem Lakish who says you're exempt by a willow tree. It's good. Now, what do we mean by that? Look, what does it say here? It talks about grafting.
So here we learn that if somebody makes a neder on something that's going to be the future, shmua, that we're careful, we don't let them do it. That's what we were talking about. Our guy said, I cannot be up today if I sleep tomorrow. So one of the things was that we don't let him sleep because if I sleep
Well, I have it. It's a little bit more complicated than that. Yeah, let's talk about grafting. We're afraid a person is going to look back and say, oh, Yankel grafted Erev Shemitah within 3 days of Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, it probably helps some Hezekiah because you know why? That's
the Rai against Rabbi Yochanan. Because according to Reish Lakish, how did Rabbi Rishim and Lakish do Patla of our Rav who said, that if you graft it onto our Rava, then the clock starts ticking within the 30 days. They're going to say, Yanko planned within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah. But Al Daitid Rabbi Yochanan, Dormer Afilu Arava, Korei Abel says, even by Arava, the clock started ticking earlier. What's the Mara sign here? If he was going to say that it was planted earlier, right? Lamli Yochanan. Says Marshani, you know what the Marat sign is different here is. Shemis Achim Bishvi, since the graft takes better during Shemitah, it looks like a desecration of Shemitah. That's the Marat sign, not when it was planted, but it looks like you're doing work over Shemitah. And Taki, you have to go out into the field or something, it looks like you work during Shemitah. Vaido Mardo. So what is that which says that Rabbi Yochanan is Taka wrong nonetheless? It's this. Hanotea v'amavrich v'amarkiv. Somebody who plants, or runs a runner, or grafts, Shlosh Yom is near Rosh Hashanah, 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, also Lo Shana Shlema. He gets an entire year. Now, this is a fundamental principle by Orla. Orla goes by calendar years. The Orla year starts in Tishrei, ends in Tishrei. Not by arbitrary years. So they're arbitrary years. So therefore, Rabbi Sai, if an Orla tree was planted 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, when hypothetically should become 3 years old, how long from then?
2 years.
2 years and? Since the minimum amount that it can be planted is 30 days, so 2 years and? It's not your question. What? No, it's 2 years and 30 days. You need 2 full years and the 30 days. Okay, so it's 2 years, it's 25 months. Okay? So says the Gemara. Again, Vaido Amarta, Hanoteva Amarvich Vamarkim, Shoshio of Ney Rosh Hashanah, also Lo Shoner Shlemi gets an entire Forla. Muta the Kayav of Shvis, you're allowed to leave the tree there during Shemitah. Pachdi Shoshio of Ney Rosh Hashanah, you plant less than 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. Lo also Lo Shoner Shlemi, you don't get a whole year. Vasu the Kayav of Shvis, and you're now allowed to leave it extant during Shemitah. Aval, however, Amru, they said, the fruit from this tree, which is planted more than 30 days for Rosh Hashanah, 30 days more for Rosh Hashanah, asurim al chamisha osar b'shvat. They're also until the next 15th day of Shvat. So in other words, the minimum amount of days, which Arla's osar is 30.
But that was
an havam.
3, 5, 4.
And then the amount of time from Tishrei to Shvat, let's say it's 200. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, born in a
sukkah because you have to have a close.
Because if not,
okay, so
this is
the
Arla, right? So this is the Arla year?
These are all Arla years.
All three, that's it.
Again, because we make them wait till Rosh and Tu B'Shvat. Even the complete year, the truth is, it's still a cooler for him. I should write Tu B'Shvat. It's still cool for you because it doesn't have to wait till Rosh Chodesh Elul. But it's not as till Tishrei.
Now is Netzaravai only until Tishrei, or from here?
Netzaravai is from this Tishrei to the next Tishrei. Oh,
no,
you're probably right. From Tu B'Shvat to Tu B'Shvat. That's right. Okay.
Or is it only for Tishrei? Because Tishrei is already.
I think it's all year, but I don't know yet. We'll have to see in the Masechta. So what's the raya against Rabbi Yochanan? The raya against Rabbi Yochanan, it says that if it's a... Oh yeah, it said markiv. It said grafting, and we're looking at the 30 days. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we should never look in grafting at the 30 days. Whether you graft in the 30 days, but what should you look at? The host tree, right? So why are we looking at the grafting? Says Martin Rabbi Yeshua Unya, Rabbi Yeshua Unya said leiskan markiv. Rabbi Yochanan takes the word markiv out of the Mishnah. Okay, that's the easy way out. No, but he's close. Omer Rabbi Abba bar Mori, Afilu Krav Shimon and Lokish, Leiskan. Even like Krav Shimon and Lokish, you have a problem here.
Right, because it sounds like you go ahead
lechatchila and be markiv. You can do grafts lechatchila, and we know l'sha'avar the grafting is technically forbidden. So it's only b'di'evan once you did it. It's mesloha b'tchila lo, not to begin with. Sorry, period. So even according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, it says that markiv, it sounds like you're allowed to do it. That makes no sense. You have to take that and say, if he did it, it's okay. But not that he's any permission or authority to go ahead and do it to begin with. Okay? Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Chakula B'Shem Chizkiya said, Hanotev E'otit Shein. If you plant the tree in a non-perforated pot, Chayev Orlo. Why is it Chayev in Orlo? It's a trick question. Mr. Zuger, why if you planted a non-perforated pot is it going to be chayv and orla? Yeah, it's not chayv and meiser. Why is it chayv and orla? Think of it, svara.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
It's not connected to the ground.
Right.
But the chayv was one you're planting.
The roots break through. By grain, the roots never break through, so that's why non-perforated pot by grain is not mechubel lekarka, but by a tree it is, because it breaks through.
Would have to be a dumb.
No, but that's it's the next line. I wasn't making it up. Rabbi Yossi Omer Bnei Shashuashim Efafino, so the roots crack it. Rabbi Yoina Mafik Belishna.
So if you're in a metal pot, it's not going to crack, so then it would be
right. Right, they say it's only Kli Cheres. What Samara says, Rabbi Yona Mafik Lishna, Rabbi Yona would express as follows. Kli Cheres, or maybe even Ashroshim, you take a pottery pot, vase, vase will stand in front of the klicha, in front of the roots. It will not, and therefore it's considered to be connected. Now that leads us to a very interesting question. Rabbi Yirmi, boy, Rabbi Yirmi asked, not about glass. What if you side the tree, which you planted also a gourd there? The gourd in of itself is not strong enough to pierce the vessel, but me'achashu kanokavet zilin, since it's considered to be perforated. Vis-a-vis the tree, Kanokovitz Ozorim, is it perforated vis-a-vis the seeds? And of course, you don't answer the question. Okay? Rabbi Yochum Sharon Biani said, Ila Shinota B'tocha Bais. A tree which is planted inside your house. Chai Borlo, Tzchai Menorlo, Potem and Rice is exempt from Meiser. The Chsiv, it says, Aseret Aseres Kotzva Sarechon. It says mice you have to give from all the grain of your the grain of your seed, hayoytzi asara, which goes out to the field. So it's only in the field. However, shvius tzricha by barlo doesn't say that soda. By shmita it's an open question because the chsiv it says v'shavta aret shabbos Hashem, which would mean everything Eretz Yisrael even inside. Yet on the other hand, it says "Ksiv sar chalos iser kar machalos ismar." It says that your heart, your your field you shouldn't plant, and your vineyard you shouldn't prune. So in one place it says haaretz, which sounds like even the chutz laaretz. Another place it says sort. Even inside the house. Another place it says sorcho, which sounds like even out in the field. We don't know which one is proper, and we leave it up in the air as a result.
Also, in your house, it's no inyun
of parasite. Yeah, but Arla is mikra.
No, I mean for shvis.
Uh huh. Okay, true. Ilan Shenekar, a tree which is uprooted, Baselimo, and its rock, meaning its soil, is with it. Im yachol lichios, if it can live by its own soil, so then potter, it's exempt from restarting the orla cycle. Meanwhile, it could not live on its own steam, so chayev, so then when it gets replanted, as if it's a rebirth, and therefore now it's chayev in orla. Okay, it's not continue to share the first one.
How can it live on its own soil?
What?
How does it live on its own soil if it's been uprooted?
Well, how long?
The soil which is uprooted with it.
It's not going to last.
How long are we talking
about? How do you know? I don't know. It doesn't say here.
It can last for a little while.
You saw all these trees that were uprooted?
They didn't weren't uprooted with their dirt.
No, when you plant new trees, they
take the dirt.
So really, we don't know. We have no.
All right. In any event, so Nekar Asela Mitzido. Same idea. If the stone is jarred sideways, or is the Zaza Machresho, or it's hit by a snow a plow. Oshes is also, or
one second.
There's his also machshavto machresh is hit by a plow. Now the roots became exposed. There was like a dirt mound where the tree was being nourishing from, and now it's exposed. Yeah, that's what it is. Nekar tell me till zizato machresha, the plowshare expose it, or shizato or it hits it. But so and it should be be'afar, and now it means that put the comma in the wrong place. Oshes yizato, comma, vaso be'afar. Now you fix the tree up by adding dirt again. Im yachol lichios, if it could have lived by the original dirt which had when it got severed, potter, it's exempt from orlo. If not, then chayev, it's chayev in orlo. Okay. Depends if it still retains the previous character. It's like Shorish Potter Poter. As long as it has a previous character in some way, shape, or form, it remains exempt. Elon Shenekar, which is uprooted. Nishtarabo Shorish Potter, that had a Potter root in it. So it's exempt from Orla. But Kami Abashorish, how thick does that one root have to be? Rabbi Gamliel b'Shum Rabbi Lazer ben Yehuda Ishbar Tusa said Kemachat Shel Masu. It's got it, and that's a typo. It should be Shel Mituach. It's like it has to be the width of a needle which a weaver uses in order to spread his fabric. In order to spread his fabric. Elon Shenekar Bo Brechar. A tree which is uprooted and it has a runner, uchaya mimenu, and the run and now the rest of the tree got uprooted, and now the older tree is now contingent on the younger tree, uchaya mimenu. The older tree is driving starship of the younger tree. Then the older tree now is the status of the younger tree. Whatever the younger tree status is for Orla, the Orla tree status is as well. The older tree status is as well. Tough on the older tree. Let's say you took many root runners off this tree year after year after year. Now the older tree, the original tree, got uprooted. You count from the time was severed. But it says Levi Shlaim doesn't mean time was severed. It means from the first one, which was first brecha, which was made. In other words, that we say is a character now for the entire tree. The tree had its own character until the tree itself was uprooted. But now the tree is uprooted, so it reverts the character of the next line. Okay, which means it goes after the brecha, the first brecha which was there, the first runner which is in the ground. Sipuk al sipuk. If you this is also graft. There's a graft from the one grapevine to another, so it's mutter. I don't know why they do this, but they take grapevines from one vine and they graft it onto the adjacent one next to it. They make interconnectedness. For some reason, that's considered good. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know why.
But... So I don't know either. But sipig agabi, what if you kept on grafting on top of grafting? Even though one of them might have put their graft in the land as a runner, mutter. It's all mutter. I forgot. Oh, because the vine is like this. You have two grapevines next to each other. And then you take one vine from here and you graft it onto here. Same thing, take another vine from here and graft and connect it to the... to the earth, right? So you have two now. You have one connected to the other, one connected to the earth. So Afa Bishir Vichem Baritz Mutter, even though there's a graft going into the earth, we still go by the even though there's a runner going to the earth, we still go by the grafting, because the grafting takes hold before the runner in the earth takes hold. So determining all the years they go after when the grafting took place as opposed to when the runner took the farming took place. Am I making sense? We don't have no idea of the agriculture, right? But somehow or another, the fact that a grafter from one to the other takes precedence over the fact that I made a runner from one to the other. It takes root, right? That's right. Now that's on a comma. Reb Meir says that doesn't make any sense. Reb Meir Malcolm depends which is better. Malcolm shekoich yofe, if the graft is better, mutter. Malcolm shekoich ro, if the graft is not as good as what goes in the ground, then oser. Logic dictates there's got to be a distinction between the two, right? Brecha shenif between what takes first or takes better. Brecha shenif skavi malea peros. If you have a runner which is connected to an older tree and now it's split. So now it's got to have oil on its own. So when is it going to the fruit become osir? Im hoisif masayim osir, but grew 200 when it was split off, then it's osir, because oil is bought to 1 in 200. So if it grows,
oil is bought to 1 in 200.
Right, and now there's not enough in the fruit which already grew to cancel the fruit which is growing now. That comes to us of Arla. Since Arla is about to 1 in 200, so you need to have 200 parts to 1. So the moment the fruit grows one part which is greater than 1 200th of the original amount, which there was a fruit when it was exempt, so then you're I forgot how I began that sentence. If you have a case where you have a...
you have an old vine.
You have old vine, right.
200 grapes on it?
No, no. Grapes that are 200 times what they're going to grow now. They grew for, let's say, 200 times 5 minutes, which is how many minutes? 6,000 minutes, right? 1,000 minutes. 200 times 5 minutes is 1,000 minutes. So now, what's the, that's a bad example. 6 times. I need a ratio of 200 to 1. You have grapes that grew for 6 times, 6 times 100 minutes, 6 times 5 minutes. 6 times... They grew for 5 hours. No, they grew for... Later in the 10 hours. Fine. They grew for 10 hours, and now you have 600 minutes that they grew, right? If now they grow more than 3 minutes, the fruit is osur. Do you see that? The fruit is osur. Yes, you do. Because you need them to grow less than 1/200th of their size. If they grow more than 1/200 of the size, then the orlo and that, then that 3-minute growth is not bought on the rest of the fruit. So that's what it's saying here. You originally the brecha was connected to an older tree, now it got severed. So you have to start counting orlo for the brecha. If you count now, so and originally you had grew 6 hours, 10 hours. 10 hours, 600 minutes. Now it's going to asur the fruit if it grows for 3 minutes straight, severed from the older plant. Because then it's not the mutter stuff in the plant will not cancel out the orla stuff in the plant because you need a ratio of 200 to 1 in order to cancel out. Is that clear? Okay. Says Markini Masnis. This is the way to read our Mishnah. Getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Ima yachol lichios potter. If it was able to live on its own with the dirt which got uprooted with it, then it continues to be exempt from orla. If not chayv, it becomes chayv in orla. Now, chizkiyah, it should be, instead of chizkiyah, it should be omer chizkiyah. You need to have a root. A shorish potter is if it's if it's the size of a needle to expand the weed. So if it's less than that size, the root it's as if the tree is severed from the ground. And therefore, if it has a root less than that size, and he bowed down to the tree, it's not mechuber l'karka asro. Then the tree comes out because of avodah zarah. Since it's not mechuber l'karka, since the root is so small, kaisel of gitei noshu could write again on it, because it's not mechuber l'karka, it's not connected. They said chazer b'chizker. Chizker reneged on what you just said. Rabbi Yonah said, mina doh chazer b'chizker. How do we know reneged? Because of this. Don't Rabbi Yonah share Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah said, name Rabbi Yonah. We came at Shiesh Kemachat. Shall meetly, once you have the size of a weaver's the weaver's needle, dover by a significant thing, it's clear. It's clear that you get 3 years. No question about it. Okay? Now, what does it mean you get 3 years? It's chayv and orla, right? That makes it already planted, it's chayv and orla. Now, here should come what happens later on, about 3 lines later. You see, Om Rabbi Yoina min milse? But before, this teaches us first. Before we go on, this teaches us the Chizkiah Reneg, because Chizkiah's Rebbe was Rabbi Yana. And Rabbi Yannai says that when it's strong enough, when the root is, has enough diameter that it's like that weaver's needle, then it's clear that it's got 3 years of Arla. But if it's less than that, it's still considered Mechubar LaKarka. It just has to be a question of that size in order to make it susceptible Arla. But even less than that, it's already considered Mechubar LaKarka. Right? So therefore, it's not a Chizki who said that if it's less than that size root, it's not even Mechubar LaKarka. We don't pask in that way. It, the Chizki himself would renege, because if you heard his Rebbe, Rabbi Yannai said that's not true. Now, says more further, where Om Rabbi Yoina said, Min milse chazarbe. Do you see that where I skipped to? Min milse chazarbe. Chizki himself reneged, not just from Rabbi Yannai. Chizki himself reneged. Dorm Rabbi Yochum Shem Rabbi Yannai. Rabbi Yochum said, Rabbi Yannai became a Jewish book in Machat Shom Mitu Idover Bori Shishu Shoshonim. Once it's that thickness, that's got 3 years. Now go back to where we interrupted before. Chizki Ashoa. Chizki asked on that. Shlish Machat. It must be. It means so. When it reaches that diameter, the tree has already grown for 3 years. What if you see it's a third of that diameter? Shlish machat shana. Does that mean it grew a year already? Shnei shlishim, it grew 2/3 of that diameter. Shtei shanim, is it 2 years? Now what do we see? We see clearly it's mechubar lakarka, even with less, even according to Chizki itself. The question is to what extent it's already grown in the land. And if we can tell, depending on the size of the root. But for sure, it's considered that already grew. Chevroya, Bari, Boy, Chevroya, and the Chevroya asked the other question. Machat Ushlish, what if it grew a needle and a third? Dover Boy Shiesh Lo Arba Shonim? Is it 4 years, or is it 4 years? And we know it already underwent Netta Revai, or not? If you're going to say he didn't renege on his original principle that it's not mechubar lakarka with less than that amount, so what's he asking? It's clear he's asking proportionally because he wants to know how much it grew. But mechubar lakarka definitely is, even if it's less than that size of a needle. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening.